Well, well, well. If it isn't Shock and Chip and Mike.
Hey now.
Hey now.
If it isn't the consequences of our actions.
Oh, they're here. Every episode is a consequence for Mike for having Shock and me on the show. But guys, I hope you're doing well. I saw a couple things of note involving both of you.
Shock. That's not good.
Shock's just a socialite. He's out and about. He's got a million things going on. Happy anniversary, Shock.
Appreciate
first
that,
of all.
Bro.
20
years.
Congrats.
20 years. That's cool, baby. Yeah. Appreciate it.
That's a bit. What's the 12-year gift? Is it like a silverware or sporting event tickets or?
So the 12-year, what happened for us was, so my son, he was playing this all-star baseball. So
he gone.
You guys still got him? Frozen.
Scott.
Okay.
Oh, now you're back. Go ahead.
All right, you got me? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So my son's playing this all-star baseball, and our anniversary was on Sunday. His team makes it to the championship game in the morning. So they're playing in a game. If they win the game in the morning, they play championship game in the afternoon. So
by the way, just to kill some time here, I looked up, and the 12th wedding anniversary gift is silk.
Silk.
Or linen.
Silk okay. or linen, huh?
Nice linen.
Now that's traditional.
Nice linen.
The modern one is pearls.
Well, we got a nice
sounds,
massage.
That sounds kind of old school too.
I know. Do people still wear pearls? I guess women do. I guess.
I have no idea. We're venturing into unknown territory. Well, this is fun.
I don't know.
he's never had the connection this bad.
Every once in a while, he'll take some hits, but we've never like locked up.
Yeah.
Let's see if he comes back. This will be a fun edit.
What's the deal with SEC Media Days this year? Are they allowing?
Apparently, it's still going to happen. Apparently, it's still going to be in Hoover. I've got to go in the last day for a TV meeting. So I don't know. I'm not on the media mailing list, so I don't know exactly what's happening.
Did y'all, you feel like you made some good ground with the whole setup arrangement?
Yes. Yes and no. And there he's gone again. God dang it. Yes and no. So, yes, I thought we made a lot of really good ground, and then an email came out today that just pissed me off.
Mm. Just means more, man.
I know. All right, you're back. So tell us your anniversary story.
It's unbelievable. I'm talking, and you guys just started talking. I was like, can these guys not hear me? What's happening?
No. No.
All I hear is, while we're wasting time, the 12 here is linen. I was like, what? You guys don't hear me talking? I just told you what it was.
While we're killing time.
Yeah. So, like I said, my son, All-Star, he's playing in the morning. And I was like, okay, they win in the morning, then they're playing the championship game later on that afternoon. So I had got massages lined up for me and my wife that morning. We got a little couple massage, which was really great. I think we've been in massage in a year and a half. And so they win the game in the morning. So I'm like, babe, they in the championship game. You got to remember, this is a team that I'm coaching too. So I'm like, I got a little attachment to these kids. Like, we ain't never made it to the championship game in his all-star season. She was like, all right, let's go. So we go. We get done with the massage at 12:45. And we're off 285, so we're going to get way back up to the Kula. So 12:45, the game's at 1:15.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
I'm going to 85 to get up there. I get to the game at 1:20. And they had just got three outs. They're coming in the bat. I walk in. Everybody's like, Coach DJ, yeah, you made it. I can't believe you guys made it. So long story short, bottom of the fifth inning, we're down by two runs. We got one out. My little guy's up to bat. He hits one down the right field line. Remember, he's a lefty, so he pulls it down the right field line. They were treating him like he's a Kuna. Everybody's playing. Everybody's, you know, put the shift on him, playing a pull. So he only gets a single out of it. He gets on first base. I'm like, dude, I don't care where that ball at. We still in second. We gone. First one, they foul off, so he has to come back. Second one, the kid gets a base hit. Base hit to left field, but it was hit so hard that they had a chance to throw him out at second. But the throw was kind of bad. It hits my son in the helmet.
Oh, my gosh.
And it ricochets off. So as he ricochets off, he's hauling butt to third base. They try to throw him out at third base. Bad throw. So I'm sending the kid at first that just got the base hit. Go to second. Go to second. And remember, we were down by one. They throw it away. They try to throw my son out at home plate. The ball's a little errant. He scores. The other kid who just got a hit, he's rounding third, and they're trying to throw him out, and he gets home just in time. We win the game. We win the championship, and kids are going crazy. They got these crazy rings. It was called the Jackie Robinson Classic, so the ring had a big number 42 on it. So they were hyped, and ultimately, later on the day, me and my wife go to the Hawks game to end the anniversary night. The Hawks do not win that night. That's the night they get blown out by like 30. But all is good. But other than that, man, that was my Sunday anniversary type of day.
Well, dude, that is an all-timer, even though the Hawks didn't win.
Yeah, it was a good night.
Fitting all that into one day, you're like superhuman.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a busy day for sure. But and then I had to turn around the next morning and drive to Athens and play in my man Pollock's tournament over at the Georgia Club. Got to see a lot of former dogs and even had a couple of dudes. Had my man Ronnie Brown from Auburn was there. Taj Boyd. What's there,
oh,
man?
Yeah. TB.
Yeah.
I heard Chuck Dowdle was there as well, and his group wasn't doing so hot.
Chuck might have had the worst team ever. Chuck, I believe they had to come in dead last. And when the tournament was made was, par is your friend. So there were a couple times on a par three, we were like, these dudes are like 15 yards off the green. We're like, these dudes ain't holding this burnt chip. So they might as well just pick up. So it was fun though, man.
Who was playing with Chuck? Let's toss some people under the bus.
I didn't want to like ruin anybody, but
I got no idea. We got to have Pollock on and ask him about that. But
saw Coach Rick was up there with the Nature Boy. I mean, what a day.
No doubt. It was fun, man.
Was Rick playing golf? Because he didn't used to be a golfer back in the day.
No.
The whole time I saw, he had on flip-flops. I don't think he played any golf. So I doubt he played golf. I think he was there for the I'm here, shake hands, kiss a couple babies.
He wasn't wearing his alligator shoes?
Nah, I don't think so. Nah. No alligator shoes. Just alligator toes out. That's about it.
Rick said he hit like a 20-foot putt or something. But other than that, yeah, I don't remember Mark Richt playing much golf at all.
Nah, I don't ever play golf at all either. I think he just, you know, the greens are nice out there, man. You hit it on the line, you got a chance to make it. So he might have did make a big long putt.
Yep.
Everybody get lucky out there. And then while I was out there, passing through the 17th par 3, and I run into a familiar family. All I hear is, DJ, hey, you do a show with my son-in-law. He does it right in here, right in this room, right over here, yep. Right here. So I met Wes's father-in-law. He was standing on the yard outside in the backyard. It was cool to meet him. Really great guy.
Yeah, we're building a house, and it's taking a little bit longer than we
thought. That's what he said. They're building a house right over there. He said it's going to be a monster. That's what he said.
I don't know about a monster, but... but yeah, so that's the arrangement at the moment. But yeah, that was cool, man. That was great that y'all got to see each other. I mean, what are the odds?
Well, we did, and I would have loved to be able to go by and do what you did, which I saw was pretty cool. Brought back a lot of memories. You had the varsity in the background. Asking people about their, you know, great memories from the varsity, and
yeah,
just. Said it's going to be some apartments or something soon. I don't know.
I don't know what it's going to be. Reports, but...
I haven't heard anything. I didn't even know they were closing. Yeah. And that place is right down the street from the office. I had no idea they were even closing, to be honest.
You know, yeah, they said in an...
You guys are literally on the same street. That's unbelievable.
In an Instagram comment that they're going to open another one in Athens.
Oh, in Athens, really?
But it's like that location in Athens is the one that people know about, you know? It's not the Atlanta Varsity that, you know, it's not that iconic, I guess, because you see the V on 85 when you drive past it and everything. I think there's another school over close to that one, another college. This one's no longer. So we'll see what they do with it. The real estate in downtown Athens is not for the faint of heart. I'll tell you that.
Got some big money? Need some big money to go down there? That's what you're saying?
Yeah,
it's strong right now. I mean, it's strong everywhere right now, but it is strong here right now.
Yeah.
Prime territory now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what have you guys been up to, man? I mean, obviously, you guys are busy guys. Got a lot going on. Mike, you're all over the place, I know. Wes, you live a busy life as well. I mean, what's new in the family and the lives of Wes Blankenship and Mike?
What is wrong with you?
Some new character?
Shocks in some whimsical fantasy character right now.
It's like the Willy Wonka of Shock and Ship or something.
This is summertime shock.
I ain't seen y'all in 2 weeks. I got to keep y'all on y'all toes, man.
I know. I'm going on vacation Saturday.
Ooh. Yeah, a little vacay for Mike.
So that means no grilly action for you for the 4th, huh?
No grilling for the 4th. Nope.
Yeah.
I already got dinner ordered for the 4th.
Whoa.
Wow.
Got your barbecue spot or something?
No, there's a place. We're going to North Carolina to the beach, and there's a place in the town where we're renting a house that does the boil, well, that we call it a low country boil, but you know what it is, where it's got everything in the pot.
Yeah.
Ooh. You just go by, they give you the pot, you take it home, dump it on your thing, and go to town.
Oh, that sounds like
it's already ordered, man. I already got it taken care of.
That's what you want.
You can order the low country boil, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then you can order different things to put in it if it doesn't have what you want in it.
Did you make any adjustments?
You had to.
You could put lobster in it if you wanted to.
Stop playing with me, lobster.
I'm not kidding.
What?
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
For a nice pretty penny, you could put lobster
in it. Oh, yeah. It wasn't cheap, but you could do it.
Damn.
That's incredible. I got the one we were looking at was fairly regular. I think we went with andouille sausage instead of just regular sausage.
Gotta have andouille.
And then, I think we went with extra crab claws or something like that. I can't remember.
That sounds like a great adjustment.
Yeah, it was fairly.
Do you get to pick the seasoning or anything?
Yeah. They had an Old Bay, which I think is pretty much the normal, and then they had I want to say a garlic butter, and then they had a spicy one, and we're gonna have some kids and stuff there, so we stayed away from the spicy one.
Yeah, you can't make it too hot with the kids around.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I made nothing crazy shock. Did a pork butt the other day. Been watching the Hawks, watching the College World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been kind of crazy. You know, these first two games have both been blowouts.
Whoop it. So, Mississippi State whooped Vandy the other night.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. My wife was watching and she was like, does Mississippi State not bring the cowbells to the baseball games?
Ooh.
And I said, I don't know. I don't know if that's something that they're not.
Is it just a football thing?
Yeah. Are they not allowed to do it? Is it only a football thing? But I did tell her, even more annoying than that, Vanderbilt has a gentleman.
There's two of them, supposedly.
Two?
A gentleman.
There's two of them. There's the guy, and then there's some wannabe guy.
That's pretty lame, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty lame. But they whistle. Shock. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard this, but they whistle this loud, shrill.
Just go on Twitter about now as we tape this at 6:50 on Wednesday night. Go on Twitter and just do a little search for Vandy Whistler.
And it's very, very
complimentary.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
one of those going to punch somebody in the face type whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I don't even know if Vandy fans actually like it, but they kind of say they have
50-50.
To.
It's about 50-50 whether they like them or not.
Yeah. So been enjoying that. Summertime is is interesting on the sporting front. You know, you got baseball, you got golf, but this little time where the College World Series is going on adds a little bit of something different. You know, it's just a different kind of tournament.
Yeah,
College World Series used to be a great tournament to cover back in the day. Back when it was, I haven't been since they moved to the new place, but we used to. When I was in Oklahoma, we had a bunch of teams that were, you know, Oklahoma won it one year. We had Oklahoma State that was in it. We had Arkansas was in it. And so we would go. It seemed like almost every summer. And that old stadium was fantastic. I haven't been to the new place yet, but that's a really fun event to cover if you get the chance.
Yeah, I'd love to go. It looks like a lot of fun.
And then speaking of golf, I was getting my updates on my main man, John Rahm. From Mike.
Yeah.
I was out shout doing
out
stuff.
To, shout out to DJ. Shout was, out to DJ.
I was like, Mike, I can't watch it, but I need the updates. I'm out here.
Why couldn't you watch it?
I was at the pool, remember?
Put it on your phone.
I was in the pool.
You were on vacation that weekend.
Yeah. I was on vacation, so I couldn't be. My kids get in the pool at 10 and don't come out to 5.
I hear you.
The
good old wrinkly.
Oh, the good old wrinkly fingers. Yeah. Until it's time to eat, that's the only time he's coming out.
And then they go to bed early, right? They crash. No.
Yeah. After
that
about
pool
9,
wears them out.
After they eat, and then they take that shower. Oh.
Yeah.
They get in that bed, and it's a wrap. So that's the only good thing about it.
Yeah.
Shock, this NIL thing, just in this segment. I think we can cover it, right, Mike? We can edit this up.
We can talk a little bit.
So, Shock NIL coming down the pipes July 1st.
Happening.
The green light for college athletes, every NCAA athlete to make money off of endorsement deals.
Yeah. And how about some guys we've seen already trying to create that brand already on Twitter? DMs are open, you know what I mean? Oh, man, it's going to be a free fall, I think, to start.
You know, it's going to be hard.
Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be hard for guys and girls who maybe have teammates who are really – it's like two sides of the same coin. Teammates who are really good, okay, earn the acclaim that they have and can milk social media and get these endorsement deals. But what about teams or players who – you know, maybe aren't big contributors on their teams, but are able to just create brands on social media. And how much is that helping the team? I got to wonder, you know, you wonder about locker rooms where guys might see teammates try too hard to get these endorsement deals and, you know, potentially to the detriment of the team. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but you know, it's going to be a little wild coming out the gates.
And that's the only thing I worry about is guys worry more about how they can make money as opposed to what you're really there for, which is your education, which is, you know, playing good and making sure you're working hard. All that kind of stuff I think may fall by the wayside with some guys. And then what about some of the sports, too, that are not as featured as like a football or basketball or baseball, you know, that may not get as much love, and they're going to look around and see some of the other sports and guys and maybe there's a little jealousy there. Who knows?
I just want to say there are going to be some really, really tragic graphic design mistakes made in the next couple of weeks.
Then the guy from Wisconsin or something have something like that?
Yeah.
Quarterback Mertz or something? Yeah.
Kind of ripped off the Nintendo GameCube logo.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't say that. Other people were. People were saying that.
Yeah.
I totally said that.
But I thought it looked like the Scholastic book logo, and then Mike texted. It's like the GameCube.
I'm just saying, you know, you don't necessarily have to. You don't necessarily have to have a logo. Let's see how this goes, and then maybe you spend a little money and get a professional to do your logo, not just your boy that knows Photoshop.
Right. Isn't it funny how this personal logo, like, it started obviously with who? MJ with the Jumpman. Yep. I don't know if
that's
anyone.
That's probably the first one, yeah.
I don't know if anyone tried it before him, but other than Noshawn Marino, I guess, who has, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, go Dogs, that leap, you know, that was made into t-shirts and stuff, right? That's an iconic silhouette. Most players don't have a silhouette like the Jumpman or like the Noshawn Hurdle. So they've got to do these these letters, you know, kind of like the Tiger Woods or the Jordan Spieth or the TB12. I guess that's like the blueprint for a lot of this stuff.
Or yeah, like Russell got, he has something that looks like a 3, but also looks like an R, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. What about, it's a bunch of different ones I think about to have. Maybe numbers, but maybe just letters. A lot of different ones out there.
Shock, if you, looking back, say we turn back the clock, okay, you hop in the DeLorean, and we're playing, you know, early 2000s. DJ Shockley's allowed to benefit. He's allowed to get some endorsements. What were some products that you think would have fit your personal brand back at that time?
Products that would fit my personal brand that I couldn't get already, like Gatorades and water. Yeah. Probably like I could do like a food place. Like I used to love going and get like the hibachi. Like if I could represent hibachi and get hibachi food, that was big in college.
I'm DJ Shockley for Bob's Hibachi.
Yeah.
Come on down on game day and get you some shrimp fried rice.
Oh my gosh. I would have a field day directing that commercial.
I will say this. This may be the golden age of horrible commercials coming in.
Shock behind the hibachi with the tall hat
with the,
on.
With the hat on.
Flipping shrimp
in.
Into
You'll
his
say.
Hat.
Or in my time, I love a speaker system. I love to hear good music. So I had, you know, big speakers in the car and all that kind of stuff. So car the, audio the place, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Yeah. Guys all in the
quadraphonic blah punked.
Yeah, man. You know, some nice tweeters.
We got Josh on the line here. So you want to throw to the break?
Yeah, let's do it. Georgia Director of Athletics, the J. Reed Parker Director of Athletics, Josh Brooks, coming up next. We'll be right back. Okay. UGA Director of Athletics, Josh Brooks on Shock and Ship. And JB, I appreciate you coming on. And it's been a few months since we had you on last time. And a lot has happened. A few new coaches. We've had Topgolf at Sanford Stadium. I mean, from one point to another, you are hot and fresh out the kitchen, my man. What is going on in Athens in the life of Josh Brooks?
I can't believe it's been 6 months. It's kind of flown by in some regards, and it's been a blast. It's been intense. I'm kind of looking forward to I'm going to take a vacation in a couple weeks. I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the 4th of July weekend coming up. I'm learning from my man Mike. I'm going to smoke a butt this weekend. I'm about to make the purchase of a smoker. I've been rigging it the old school way, but I'm actually probably going to make that purchase and buy a an actual smoker. So I'm excited about that.
I feel like we need to get on our partners over there at GBSM. I feel like there should be an official smoker of the Georgia Bulldogs. I think that's very on brand.
We haven't really tried to make that happen intentionally, but barbecue just comes up and food in general comes up weekly on this show. So,
and Josh, if you need a playbook, Mike has a playbook that was bigger than anything I've ever had that's full of great recipes and how to cook certain things. So when you need that, Mike's got it.
I've got it in easy PDF form. So
that's
you can
put
it on your phone.
Yeah, he walked me through. I turned my old charcoal grill into a smoker and rigged it up and did some ribs a few months ago. But now I'm ready to take that next step into adulthood. I figure I'm at that age now to just go ahead and get the real smoker. It's like me, one of those guys that wakes up at 6 a.m. and bragged all my friends about I had to fire up the pit at 6 a.m. and sit there and watch the heat, control the temperature.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll eventually want to get some sort of mechanism that it helps you automate that a little bit, but if you have time and you like wrestling with the smoker, it's fun. But if you're not
if
into
you enjoy,
that,
and also if you enjoy having your family and your children,
when's it going to be done?
Possessed. because it's invariably it's just a stream of profanity.
I'm glad it only took me a minute into the podcast to digress off of Georgia Athletics and get straight into something else.
That's usually what happens here.
That's the impact we have on our guests.
I'm a very bad digressor. Mike sat through enough meetings with me. I'm a king of digressing, so I apologize.
Josh, Wes mentioned a couple new hires for our Dogs. Obviously, Tony Baldwin and Kara Smith Gilbert joining the Bulldogs for some good stays. Talk about that process, because I always want to know what that process is like when you go about trying to find that particular coach that fits what you want, but also what that particular sport
needs.
Yeah,
so both of those very different search processes. One with Coach Lou. We were trying to respect her privacy. She didn't want the team to know she was going to retire. So with that in mind, I really couldn't do a whole lot of talking to any candidates, couldn't do a lot of legwork. I could do research, but in respect to the team, I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag. So I didn't talk to anyone. So I had to sit on that, only do my research for that one. In terms of track, it was more publicly known that Petros was planning on leaving. So I had time to get out in front of that and really not only do research, but start talking to candidates. And then with that process, you want to be respectful of any candidate. And obviously with Carol, I want to be respectful of her and her process with her team. I knew she had a great chance to win a national championship. So through that process, I reached out to the AD, let him know, hey, and that's always a funny situation, right? I'm about to call another colleague and say, hey, I'm letting you know I'm coming to steal your coach. You know, it's like, in what league or what, you know, in the NFL, you wouldn't call the coach. But, hey, I'm letting you know. Right. They're not a free agent, but I'm coming to steal your player. Yeah, like it's such a weird thing. So you call them, give them a heads up out of professional courtesy and say, listen, I'm interested. You know, we've got an opening coming up. I'm interested in your coach. And really, the more research I did in Carol, the more I fell in love with her as a coach, as a person, someone who's developed student athletes her whole career, and someone I knew that could win championships here. And I knew that was going to be a tough get. But for me, with, you know, my well-known love of the sport of track, it was an easy sell for me. I could – you know, tell her about how passionate I am about it, how I keep up with the sport, and the fact that I was out there in Oregon recruiting her and was there trying to be respectful of her time and process with the team, but also out there, you know, showing how dedicated I am as AD in terms of all sports, but especially track. So that was a shoot for the moon, you know, and then I knew their team was going to finish well. Wasn't sure they were winning the national championship, but then when they did, it became a nerve-wracking process. Oh, God, you know, now it's going to get more difficult. And I knew USC would come at her pretty hard to stay. But fortunately, we were able to sell her on the vision we have for Georgia and the promise of what can be here. And she was all in. So that was great. And then Tony, a little bit different situation, obviously. So we didn't get into that search until we told the team the Sunday when we got back from Oklahoma City that she was retiring. And that process was – you know, a little bit different and started late. But, you know, the more research I did and looked into coaches and I told Tony early on, hey, look, I'm rooting for you, but just like when I got this job, you're going to have to go toe-to-toe with some other candidates and see where you stack up. And the more research I did and the outpouring of love for Tony was just through the roof. And I just knew I could entrust him to lead our program. And, you know, from current student-athletes, former student-athletes, coaches that work with him, support staff. It was just, I've never in all my years in this business, I've never seen such an outpouring of love for one person. So I felt great about it. And then when I got a chance to meet with him and he sold me on his vision of complete respect for what Coach Lou has built, but how he could keep building upon it and growing it, I was sold and I knew he was the right person for the job. So I feel great about both individuals. And at the end of the day, beyond everything else, beyond graduation, beyond championships, I know that we have two individuals who are going to lead our student athletes and lead them into, you know, being people who can go and attack the world when they leave Georgia. So that's always the most important thing with me, and that's two people I feel great about.
Josh, seeing Top Golf at Sanford Stadium over the last couple weeks, that's pretty cool. But I also saw in your weekly update email that, you know, you're open to hearing about more events like that fans might be interested in. And obviously you think outside the box. I mean, you're the guy that brought a concert to that stadium. So with that mindset, it seems like the sky's kind of the limit for the way that Georgia facilities and the interaction between Georgia fans and those facilities and the teams can look. How much energy does that give you, and how much energy do you have to pursue those kinds of things?
Well, it's something that gets me really excited, but then you have to balance it, right? Because the difficult thing about, and Mike can tell you this, a stadium like Sanford Stadium is when can it be used, when it cannot be used. So you got to find the right windows when you can get things done. Topgolf timing up right after camps and right before we'll do some work to get the field ready for the fall was a perfect window to do something simple like Topgolf. Something as big as a concert, you've got to do in that sweet spot between G-Day and commencement when you know you're going to tear the field up after G-Day with commencement and doing that. So it's a great time to go ahead and bring in something like that. So you've got these very small windows for a venue like Sanford. Now, for other venues, there could be other unique things. And I think we've done some cool things at Stegman before, from concerts to, you know, bringing in a robotics camp, things like that. So I'm always open to new ideas and different ideas of things we can do and how we can utilize our facilities. And it's not even from a revenue perspective. It's just from doing something fun and something different. And hopefully it drives, you know, people staying in hotels and restaurants and all those things that help the local economy here in Athens. Those are important to me as well. But it's also just fun to bring something different and just anything we do that's unique that can get some more eyes on us or just put us in the spotlight to make, you know, put Georgia on the map any way we can.
Josh, football season is right around the corner. Obviously, one more month and, you know, camp will be here and we'll be glad to get fans back in the stadium. And I know one of the big things that's going to happen is the concession prices that are going to be in the Sanford Stadium. Talk about those for a minute and what fans could look forward to.
Yeah, so we're excited. I think we're heading down a path and we're excited that we're going to be at 100% capacity, back to normal operations like it was before COVID. Obviously, we'll continue to work through the summer and see, hopefully things stay the way they are. You know, now you're starting to hear stuff about the Delta variant and hopefully we can keep moving the way we are with vaccinations and get to a point to where we still feel good. But, you know, we're excited for 100% capacity, back to normal tailgating, back to normal operations. There still may be some safety procedures that we've learned through the process that we may still enact. One thing we're going to stick with is mobile ticketing, cashless operations. We found that those things that we can make us more efficient in the future allow us to operate more efficiently and just be smart about how we use technology. Some things maybe we were hesitant to move to before, but now we've got a taste of it and it's something that we can really roll with it. And that is the future. When you think about it, it sounded weird to think about mobile ticketing on many venues, but now that's pretty commonplace when we fly, right? How many people do you see when they get on an airplane, mobile ticket? You know, so with that said, I think it's just a matter of people getting more comfortable. Those are things that will change that we enacted from COVID that you will see moving forward.
So you mentioned you're going on vacation and a guy like you probably doesn't have a ton of time throughout the year to get away. But when you're not trying to revolutionize, you know, the face of Georgia athletics while also keeping it the same Georgia athletics.
While respecting athletics, the traditions. While respecting
exactly.
The traditions.
That's what exactly. What are you doing? What's your downtime looking like for Josh Brooks?
Well, this summer, I'm going to go down to the beach and really it's going to be pretty simple. It's just going to be probably reading a book, sitting in a chair, getting some sun and sleeping a little bit, maybe fall asleep by the pool. My kids are at the age that they're old enough to where they're all great swimmers and there's a lifeguard at the pool. So I can literally, it's not the days when they were younger and Mike can, you know, you know that when they make that adjustment and DJ, you're probably getting into that phase too now. When they're 2 and 3 and you're sitting there in the pool with them the whole time, you never can relax. But now when they're at the age where I can just let them go and sit back and just really relax. And hopefully, I probably won't be able to do it, but I'm hoping to maybe turn the phone off for a little bit. But I don't know.
Yeah. If you can, I highly recommend it.
Josh, I got two things. First off, Wes, I don't know if he is higher on the scale than me, but he, I don't get these weekly or monthly emails about what's
going
on. Where is
this going?
I don't know what's going
because
on.
You've never bought tickets from us, probably.
You've never had to buy tickets.
You have to make a purchase at some point in your life to get on our mailing list.
Gotcha. Okay.
DJ.
All I needed was clarification. That's all.
DJ, I get like three copies of all of them, so I'll just send you one of mine.
Yeah, just forward it to DJ.
Completely jealous of
that. Or you put it in the junk folder.
I saw a pretty cool picture of you. I think of you and your son at the Hawks game. Obviously, the Hawks are on a crazy tear right now. I got a chance to make it to the finals. I mean, what's your thoughts on these Hawks and what's going on? And you might have been there the same night I was there, but cool venue. Fans are going crazy. It's electric. Like, what's your thoughts, man, on these Hawks right now?
Well, first of all, I got to say, I waited to tweet until the game was over. I'm very superstitious. So I did not want to. But that was a tweet that was a jab right at Brandon Sudge because I had to take a shot at him because he went up to Milwaukee and the Hawks lost. Winning up, so I was just taking a jab at him, proving that I am the good luck and he's the bad luck. So that was
there you go.
So, nice. But you know, I think back. I'm friends with David and Steve Koonin. Steve, obviously, one of the owners of the Hawks, and he's been very much invested into how to change the atmosphere at State Farm and really create what it was. And I remember he toured me through the facility a couple of years ago and was laying out the vision of what it could become. And at that time, the team was still young and they were building. And last night, seeing it all come together, you saw Steve Koonin's vision of what it could become. And it was so great to see that in Atlanta. NBA playoff basketball, the crowd was into it. And it was just a great thing to see for the city of Atlanta to be there to witness that, even with Trey hurt. And then how gritty those guys are. And that's a team that you can really get excited about because they fought and they – It was a total team effort. Everybody had to step up, and I'm just so proud of the city, proud of Steve and what they've done at the organization to build that program and create excitement in Atlanta. And hopefully, it's something to keep building upon because I know it's great for the city when all those teams are doing well. But I'm really fired up. I'm sorry, DJ. I'll never be a Falcons fan, Saints fan. But
man,
that Braves, United. And Hawks fan, but I can't ditch the Saints. So
soon enough, we're gonna see.
Koonin got a name drop from Conan last week.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
How awesome was that, huh?
So when you look at guys like Steve Koonin, okay, who have their hands over different things, different enterprises, his past isn't just in pro sports, but how much inspiration do you get, even though you're on the collegiate level, from the professional level, because there's some overlap there, but not an entire overlap. Yeah.
No, and Steve, he might not know it, but Steve's one of my mentors because I try to read everything he does and follow a lot of things they've done. He's been really somebody who's been inspired me, and I love just to pick his brain and just ask him questions because he's brilliant. He thinks outside the box. And just to think about where the Hawks were a few years ago before he got there and what they've become with his influence that he's had in the organization. I just want to absorb everything I can from people like that because he's definitely one of those, he's not a why, he's a why not guy. And thinking outside the box and keeping coming up with new ideas and what they've done at State Farm is unbelievable. And so he's definitely someone I just want to steal every idea I can from and replicate as best we can.
Josh, what's the next 6 months look like, man? I know there are a lot of things that are in the works, things that you want to get done around the university. What are some things that maybe the fans can look forward to happening around the university?
Yeah, so we've got some fun announcements that we're holding on to right now that we're going to roll out as we get closer to the start of the season. Some things that will impact, game day atmosphere, fan experience. It's one of those things that's really close to my heart, things I care about, like talking about with Steve Koonin, but I want to keep them. I've got a few things we're working on that we're going to implement that's going to hopefully make some positive impacts for people's experience on game day. We're working through what we're calling a strategic vision of facilities and where we're going to go the next 5 to 7 years and kind of starting to put together a blueprint of what that roadmap's going to look like, knowing that some of that has already been laid out when I'm talking about the tennis indoor, some improvements to Sanford Stadium, including moving the press box. Things like that. So really further developing that plan. And then I'm also spending some time this summer meeting my exec staff as we're really, now that we're on the other side of COVID and the effects of the pandemic, it's really, now it's time for me as a leader to really start laying out our vision and our mission statement as an athletic department. Early on, so much of it was just really navigating and surviving the pandemic. And now we can catch our breath a little bit, really want to start verbalizing and putting into words my vision and what my plan is for our department. And that's something that I seek a lot of input from my staff on and working through. And then before you know it, fall's here and we're getting into soccer and volleyball, cross country, and football's cranking up. And then before you know it, the winter sports and, all the work we put in, going to the events is why I do what I do and then getting to see our teams compete. I went and watched our women's basketball team practice today and watching them and the newcomers coming in and practicing. That's what I'm most excited about is getting to watch our kids compete. So it'll be here before you know it. I think we're in the, what, 70s now or 60s before, 60-something days before first game. So it's almost here.
Yeah, Josh, you mentioned the things that you're not going to reveal until closer to the season. Totally get that. But with COVID obviously being such a, you know, huge factor, the factor in our lives last year, do you have some things kind of in your back pocket as an athletic director that you've always kind of wanted to try, but you couldn't because of COVID last year, if that makes sense?
Yeah, 100%. There's always a bunch of little things here and there. One of the, you know, one of the things I wanted to do for a while that now that I was able to, you know, get with our staff and work through is that one of the first things was lowering concession prices and saying we want to create, you know, five core items that every family can focus on and buy if they're trying to take care of a family of four, or family of five, focus on the core items, popcorn, hot dogs, candy, soda, and bottled water. Simple things that we know that every family can make a meal out of if they want to. Still have the other options, but giving them options as well. But when you talk about ticketing, we one thing we can announce that we're going to do is we're going to mobile ticket scanners, the pedestal scanners. We used to have the handheld scanners that, you know, they don't work quite as well on the mobile devices, but buying those new pedestal scanners that you've seen at State Farm and the Falcons, is they're a lot quicker and they'll work better with the mobile devices. So little things like that. And we've got some fun things that are, like you said, in my back pocket that we're, you know, just sitting on and ready to announce as we go closer. The things that are little things, but they're big things to me. You know, I think if you add up enough of the little things, they can make a big difference in the experience for people. So a lot of fun things like that, Wes, that maybe I've thought about or, you know, sat on or maybe couldn't get approved that now I can.
So I'm reading between the lines and I'm hearing Monster Jam at Sanford Stadium between the hedges.
Yeah, sure. I mean, hey, for the concert and Monster Jam at the same time, maybe.
Well, see, Josh, I already hear you're already moving towards the Falcons because you said, hey, I love some of the stuff they're doing over there for long. You're going to like the football team as well. So you're moving in the right direction, brother. I see.
Well, they did hire a Saints guy. You know, they hired.
Yeah, they did.
Podnell. Yeah, Terry. Yeah. Understandable. So. I guess he knew where, you know, his bread was going to be buttered at the best, so he came on through. you know, last thing for me, you talk about being on the job these first 6 months. Has anything surprised you? Or have anything when you went through, you know, these first few months that you say, wow, this was different or excited about? Or is there anything that was during this process of these first few months that really got you excited about being on the job and being here?
I think the thing that surprised me, or I didn't anticipate the most, was the number of people that would reach out to you, and you think they're reaching out to congratulate you, but then they slip in, they're looking for a job. It's like, hey, man, how's it going? How's the family doing? Like, oh, it's great to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a while. And they're like, hey, look, if you've got anything open, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Could you wait for the second call to ask
that? It's not a coincidence.
Yeah. But the positive has been just the overwhelming people that are just fired by Georgia Athletics and the university and Athens in general. And hopefully it's not just people being, you know, overdoing it, but I think our fan base, our donors are really fired up, and it's a good time to be a fan, a donor, a student athlete. People are just excited. They're excited about every sport. And I get that feedback a lot. It's good to get that in person, because if you just rely on social media, you'll go crazy, because social media, as we all know, can get a little negative, get a little chirpy sometimes.
Just a little bit.
I think it's negative by
default. We all know Twitter brings out the best in everyone.
Yeah.
The correlation of people on Twitter who have very nice things about themselves in their bio and then what they actually tweet, there's a direct contrast in those two things. But when you meet people face-to-face and they tell you what they love about Georgia and what it means to them, it inspires you and fires you up and motivates you to work even harder to make it better for them every day. So that's what I love is meeting the people and hearing those reactions of why they love Georgia so much.
Yeah, I think my last question for you, Josh, just as much as social media is an impact on college athletics, but just moving ahead into like a new generation of what college athletes and what college sports looks like, from the, you know, stadium environment that, that you're all about with the lights and, you know, it's an event. We talked about this the last time you were on. What are some of the hallmark, just the table stakes, the non-negotiables that college athletic departments have to do right in 2021 and beyond?
Yeah, I use the word experience a lot, and that that goes. Look, he got
I just
it.
Said, I just sent it to him. I just sent it to him.
I'm in there.
You're saying now we got your email even through him.
Yeah, we're getting time now.
No.
The key things, I say the word experience a lot, and it's three pieces to that. It's the student athlete experience. It's my coaches and staff experience, and it's our fans experience. What we have to do at the forefront of everything is make sure everyone do the best we can to make sure people are having a great experience. And it all starts with student athlete. We have to do right by them, whether we're giving them academic support, sports medicine support, any of those things, giving them a first-class experience where they're proud to be a Georgia Bulldog and we know they're going to be protected and we're going to nurture them and put them on the best path moving forward. Then I've got to do a good job of creating experience from our staff, because we work, and Mike can tell you, and his staff can tell you, we work a lot of long hours. I mean, Mike, if you've ever seen Mike's staff on a – they think football season's crazy. Go see it during the spring season when we have softball tournament, baseball series, and 37 other events going on at the same time. And they're, oh, by the way, SEC wants us to produce this, 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 this. And all of a sudden we have more productions than we have people and cameras for, and we're somehow we pull it off, right? So – we've got to make sure we treat those people right so they feel motivated and appreciated and want to come to work. And if we take care of those things, then between our staff, coach, student athletes, we'll put a great product out there that our fans and donors will be proud of, provide them a great experience, which then they'll help support us, which will then help us support our staff, coach. So it's all tied in together. It all goes back into experiences. And look, when I talk about the fan experience, that doesn't mean that if we don't put a good product on the field or court or anything – that people are going to keep attending. But at the same time, we've got to make sure on our end that we can cover every basic, from do the best we can, from traffic to parking to taking tickets to concessions. We've got to do the best we can in each one of those areas to make it the best possible experience we can. And look, we've got stiff competition with the customer service example that the Braves and Hawks, Augusta National, Lane United, and the Falcons have all done a great job. So we've got stiff competitions in this area that we have to live up to with all those venues.
Mike, what it looked like I heard from that is, Mike, you're getting a pay raise. That's what it sounded like. It sounded like something there says you're getting more bread. That's all I hear.
Mike.
And Mike, what I just heard is he wants to be your agent to get 3%. Yeah.
Mike, that agent
business is pretty hot right now.
Yeah, it's a good
Mike,
one to get into.
We cut out the middleman. We cut out DJ. We cut out the realtor.
Mike, this whole episode has actually been your performance review, so congratulations.
It is that I got that email too, DJ, if you want that.
Yeah. I'm just going with the Brooks Bulletin. That's all I need right there.
The Brooks Bulletin.
That's all I need.
There it is.
You should have been in the decision-making process where we were trying to name what the name of it was going to be. That should have been a podcast itself. What do we call McGarity minutes when it transitions? There was a lot of bad ideas thrown out there that got
finished. Well, it's funny you say that.
That came out from Shock and Ship.
Well, Shock and Ship, yeah.
We had a bunch before we came up with that one.
Yeah, it's funny when that email comes through though, because it says it's from Josh Brooks, and like, I'm like, oh, I'm half of Shock and Ship. I wonder if Josh is reaching out to give me some feedback, and it's the Brooks Bulletin, which is also great and informative.
So I used to get all the replies. Now there's at least a filter of someone else that goes through. I won't say who, but they will, you know, they will at least.
Oh, I know who it is.
And it's always funny to think.
Man.
I always have to question him, because if it's, you know, if he sends a couple good ones, like, all right, you holding the bad ones back, man, come on. You don't have to hold back on me. I'm a tough big boy. I can take it. You can give me the negative ones too.
Oh, man. I can only imagine.
Well, I don't think this show exists without the stamp of approval from Josh Brooks. So thank you for keeping us going, and thank you for joining us tonight. It's been fun.
Yeah, always. I enjoy it. There's got to be a random question there. I mean, you've moved on from the candy corn. There's going to be something that's a debate.
Well, hey, Josh, I whooped them so bad. They really basically told me stop asking because they were getting crushed. So
we're working on a new one
alone, man.
That we'll unveil, I guess, football season. So. We'll figure that out.
No, I'll ask you a random question.
Uh-oh, he's what? Been keeping this
no,
one.
No. You know, you were talking about...
He's like, oh, you opened the gate? How much you yeah. walking
how,
in?
How much you bench? No, so you were talking about different things at Sanford Stadium, and you don't have to get into specifics, but what is the weirdest request that you've had or ooh. That you've been a part of for Sanford Stadium? Because I know, you know, working in the office, you hear things in the grapevine, and you'll be like, oh, that'd be kind of cool, or no, there's no way we could pull that off, or you got to be kidding me.
Can somebody get married there?
Yes. No. Yes and no. I mean, look, you can pull it off real quick in the plaza.
Yeah, the gates are unlocked, man. Yeah. Pull it off real quick.
Just get a quick talking reverend and you're good. Yes.
The weirdest one, we've had this one a few times, is asking to spread ashes on the 50. Loved ones, ashes. That's the one we get more than
That makes sense, yeah.
See,
yeah.
I was just talking like the big soccer games and stuff that we get asked to do and things like that. God, yeah, I wasn't gonna go creepy like old dead guy thing.
The best is when you get a random one that wants to do an event in the stadium. And they have no idea, you know, because a stadium of that nature just costs a lot just to open the gates, ticket takers, electricity, everything. I mean, it's you can't do a small event in there because of just what it takes to operate. And you get a small, hey, we want to do this. And you're like, okay, well, it's going to cost X, Y, Z just to open it. Like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, never mind.
That's the one. Yeah.
I'd like to have my nephew's birthday party at Sanford Stadium.
Yeah. Can we bring an inflatable slide in, Josh?
I promise you, it's only going to be 25 people, but I want all of it.
The ball pit would fit right there on the 50.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, we'll find that sweet spot for you right there between G-Day and commencement, and we'll let you get in there and make a ball pit.
Exciting, exciting times ahead. Thank you, Josh. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Hope everyone has a happy a happy 4th. Look out for the Brooks Bulletin. Be safe.
go
Dogs, go Hawks. There you
Mike
go.
Ain't with it.
Hawks
Mike
and 7.
Ain't with it because they crushed the 76ers. He ain't with it. Look at it. He's salty. He's still salty, Josh, because he whooped the 76ers.
I was going to bring it up, but Mike I'll did say Sixers in 6.
Yeah, I did.
So.
It hurts.
It hurt. Look at it. He hurt. He's so salty. Look at it.
Didn't happen.
Get me on vacation. That's what he's saying.
Didn't happen. Well, vacation for Mike, vacation for Josh coming up. Well deserved. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next episode. Leave us a review. Tell your friends about us. And just share good things about Shock and Ship. We'll catch you next time.